Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
All week, Mark Schlereth has been grinding through film on the Broncos and the Bucks, because you'll be calling the game on Sunday for Fox. So Bronco country, when you settle down to watch the game on Sunday, you'll be listening to the dulcet tones of one Mark Schlereth, who has, I'll give him credit, lost about 23 pounds. So those shirt buttons that looked really, really uncomfortable last year,
yes,
are actually breathing a sigh of relief.
They are. You know what? I walk into my closet and you can just hear him go,
Oh, yeah.
Like when I try them on, they're just like, thank the good Lord.
Yeah.
I did give you a diet tip yesterday, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah. Should you think I should give the people the diet tip?
Sure,
I think
why not?
This
is what you've done to lose 23 pounds right over the last month and a half.
Probably last 8 weeks. So I've lost 23 pounds in about the last 8 weeks. And so, here, you know what? You might want to, if you're driving, pull over. You know, and essentially get ready to, you know, type it into your phone or maybe write a note and
maybe like Crash Davis talking to Nuke right now.
Right.
Write it down.
Right. Yeah. You need to write this down. Or if you're sitting in your kitchen, listen to us on like Alexa or whatever, just sit down. Just get a piece of paper. I'll give you a second. Get a pen. Write this down. Okay. So here's the key. Are you ready? Is everybody ready? Stop eating. There you go.
There you go. Simple as that. All right.
Pretty easy.
So after a whole week of looking at the film, what are Stink's keys to a Broncos victory? It's brought to you by Geeman Criminal Defense online at goawaydui.com. Remember, the key to your best defense is choosing the right lawyer. All right. Can you find keys to a Broncos victory?
Oh, sure.
They are?
Absolutely. Well, you want to start offensively or defensively?
Let's start with the offense.
Okay. Starting with the offense, I think the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to identify the fact that if you think you're a spread team, if you think you're the Kansas City Chiefs, if you think that speed is the key, then you are going to get beat by double digits. You have got to change your personnel philosophy. You have got to use Beck and you have got to use Vanette, or you have got to use Bud if he's the best blocker. You've got to use Noah Fant. You've got to use multiple tight ends, two back formations, 21 personnel, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, 22 personnel. That has got to be your base. Your base last week and your base over the first two weeks of the season, you've been in 72%. You've been in 11 personnel. And of that 11 personnel, I would say that about 90% of it is spread based upon my numbers of breaking down formations and breaking down what you're doing. You can't hold up. And just because you held up in, like, why do you think that the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of came with a bunch of cat corner edge blitzes? You have any idea? Because of all the boot keep stuff you pulled on Tennessee. Like, there was a reason, and I told you this, there's a reason you didn't give up pressures in Tennessee, because everything was the boot keep game. Everything was the play action game. Well, when they take that away from you, then, you know, you're forced to drop back. So you're going to have to protect the edges. You're going to have to change your kind of philosophical approach from a personnel standpoint of who you want to be. We'll see if they do it. We'll see if they believe that, hey, man, it was just an anomaly and Pittsburgh brought the kitchen sink and we didn't respond very well and we didn't, you know, didn't have it mentally, whatever. And then secondly, let's go for the defensive side of the ball. You're going to have to change your, again, philosophical approach. If you're going to sit back and play zone,
come on now.
I know.
Ojemudia
is going, they're going to attack him. I think they threw it 11 times at him for 143 yards the other day. I don't know how many completions they had. He's going to get attacked in coverage. You're going to have to rely on him. He's going to have to learn from those mistakes. You got to bring pressures. Yeah, and I know Vic Fangio wants to get there with four, and he wants to play zone behind it. And he wants to occasionally bring a fifth rusher and still play zone behind it. You're going to have to blitz people, and you're going to have to play some man free. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to put pressure on Tom Brady. Tom Brady still had some errant throws. He still doesn't have a great Like the communication between him, the nonverbal communication between him and his receivers has not been great to this point. So, like, to me, pressure him, get him off his spot, and keep that nonverbal communication, from developing in this game. So those are offensive key, defensive key.
There you go. Stinks keys to a Broncos victory, brought to you by Geeman Criminal Defense, online at goawaydui.com. So surely after losing last night, and I'm sure Michael Malone agrees with everybody on the Ramoslav.com text line, who is just like, oh, the officiating, we got screwed.
Yeah.
Surely Michael Malone feels that is the reason the Nuggets lost last night.
Almost all of it. Yeah, it was a huge number, and it was like that the whole night. And obviously Dwight Howard had six. Nobody touched him at all in that first quarter. He did whatever he wanted. And then, 25-6 second point advantages, really hard to overcome. We had good possessions of defense. We were just unwilling to finish it off with a rebound. And we're coming off of a game in game three where it was four offensive rebounds for 4 points. And I think understanding why you win and why you lose in this business is critical. And we did a poor job in that area tonight. And they were more physical. They were more aggressive. And that's one of the main reasons that we lost.
They got out-rebounded. It was plus 21 Lakers on second chance points. Rajon Rondo, all six, one of them, is getting a key offensive rebound late in the game when you still have a chance to win. George Karl, who will join us at 8:30, he said on Twitter last night right after the game, the Nuggets were soft tonight, especially Jokic and some of the bench guys. I want more angry and physical presence. Michael Malone didn't blame the officiating.
No.
George Karl didn't blame the officiating. Stop blaming the officiating. If you're going to make this all about the officiating and the oh, woe is us, it just, I mean, come on. I know we haven't been there as a basketball market for a long time, but try to act like you've been there.
Right.
This makes you look like basketball Hooterville when it's just, oh, woe is us.
Here's the great news. You're down 3-1. I mean, that's not great news, but this is where you've been. Elimination games. You're 6-0 in elimination games. And Michael Malone's right. You can sit there and whine about things, or you can say, hey, man, we got to be better here. But you can show them. Here's like, George Karl came on the other day, and he said he thought Anthony Davis essentially, like, shied away from the physical nature of that game in game three, right? And all of a sudden, he responded. Like, Anthony Davis got the message. He responded last night.
Well, he still didn't have a rebound until the fourth quarter.
Well, he responded on the offensive side.
Yeah.
I mean, he was taking it to 10. He wasn't settling for jump shots like he did the game before. So, listen, man, bottom line is, I think George is right. We got out-toughed. They out-rebounded us. They were more aggressive on the defensive side. They were more up to the challenge. And that's a great, I mean, that's great.
Yeah,
good for us.
Yeah, I just,
you know,
I
what?
Hate,
we'll respond.
I hate the officiating excuse. Let me see. When the Nuggets won game three, correct me if I'm wrong. I remember everybody commenting about how, wow, Jamal Murray, 28 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists. What a lift from Monte Morris off the bench, 14 big points. How about Jeremy Grant? Wow, was he awesome. That's all I heard.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I never heard, well, I guess we won because we got a good whistle.
Right.
You know, we took 7 more free throws and made 9 more free throws than the Lakers. We won because we got a good whistle.
Nobody said that
after game three.
It was
all about the players and the play,
right,
and the reason why they won the game. Nobody said we won the game because of the officiating.
Right.
So when we lose, though,
right,
it's all about the officiating.
Let me just say this, guys. Here's the beauty of it. You're right. You know, Nuggets fan, you're right about this. The NBA doesn't want you in the finals. Of course they don't. They don't want the Nuggets in the finals. They want the Lakers in the finals. I get that. Good. Like, how are you going to respond? Hey, in 97, the 97 Broncos, nobody thought the Broncos, they were 13-point underdogs to the mighty Green Bay Packers. Nobody thought they were going to win. How do you respond? And we're going to see. We're fixing to find out. We're going to see how they respond. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Coops.
You're welcome.
Nate Jackson with his latest rap. Is it rap? Or what's it called? Percussion? What is it? Rap? All right. Nate Jackson, he'll break it down for us next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Love the fact that Nate Jackson, part of our stable of great Bronco insiders, and he joins us now on the Fireball Hotline. Nate, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Now, we are going to get to this week's Nate Jackson-produced rap preview in this game, so we're going to get to that in just a second. Or do we want to play a little snippet of it right now? Do you want to do a little bit of it or kind of set the mood? All right, here it is.
Tick, 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 tick. But it doesn't seem to bother Vic. Vic, Vic. A lot of folks are mad, yo, but Vic ain't hearing that.
He should be fired.
Yells James Merrillat. No time to panic. Looky here, a winnable game against the Buccaneers. Yo, their team is stacked, but so far it ain't working. Tom looks old and the Gronk, he ain't twerking. Got Bruce Arians stuttering, stuttering, because all of Brady's balls be fluttering, fluttering.
Ah, oh, you can hear the entire song during the Friday 5 o'clock fire up with the drive.
Hey, wait a minute, I am
this one actually. This one, hey, you were good last week. This one's even better.
I'm in. I missed last week. I missed last week's rap. Nate, I had no idea. Do you like have a little studio at the crib? How you doing this?
Yeah, I got a little basement studio, I got a microphone, you know, you can actually make these songs pretty easily at home with GarageBand. It comes standard in these MacBooks, and so you can find these beats in there, and then if you get a mic, you can record some vocals, and there you go, you got a song.
Yeah, come on, Mark, I do it.
Wow, yeah, I'm going to have to get my, hey, fellas, I'll probably go to the garage with my GarageBand and get that going this afternoon. Now, that's really, I actually enjoyed that. Hey, Nate, I thought I was going to be embarrassed for you, but I'm actually, I am. Hey, when he said you're going to do a rap, I was like, uh-oh. But I'm actually impressed. I am really impressed. Good job.
Thanks, man. You got to hear last week because you are in it. I gave a little shout out to you. Every week I'm going to try to throw in some guys from the station, you know.
Great.
Bust them up a little bit, but I made a reference to you in green chili.
Yeah, queso and bean dip, I think.
Oh,
was.
Nice. Yeah. All right. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, so a little keys to the game for you. You look at this offense, obviously, you know, when you go out there as an offense and give up 19 quarterback hits, I think 11 tackles for losses and 7 sacks, you're in deep trouble. Like that is not something you want to come out with. So what do you do as an offensive coordinator? Because I put a lot of it on the offensive coordinator. I mean, I just believe that it's not just all offensive line. It's timing of the quarterback. It's routes, route combinations. It's the way you call plays. So what do you do if you're a coordinator for this team after a performance like that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to establish the run early, try to, even though this Tampa Bay defense is pretty stout in the run, right? But those kind of quick drops, three-step drops, get it out of Driscoll's hands and, you know, run some kind of simple routes, some slants, some hitches, some quick stuff to those guys, get the ball in their hand and let them get moving. And then maybe as the game, you know, rolls on, they can kind of drop back further, and I think the play-action pass is going to be important, but that means the running game's got to step up. So the offense has its work cut out for them.
All right. So these young receivers, and you know, catching the ball was your forte. With Courtland Sutton out, what realistically do you think the ceiling is this year for Jerry Jeudy and K.J. Hamler? How much can they be expected to basically be handed the wide receiver keys to this offense and deliver?
Yeah, so I don't know how much we can expect as far as, you know, wins from generated from this offense, but I think these guys are going to grow a lot this year, having been thrust into this position where, yeah, no Courtland Sutton, basically our two top receivers are rookies. I don't see, you know, any other team in the NFL that has that kind of situation, and I can't remember any other situation like that. So these guys are going to mature really fast. They're going to get thrown into the fire. You know, they're going to get the best corners on the other team, locking them up sometimes. And so, you know, they're going to have some growing pains, but they're going to learn a lot. And I think, you know, if they're mentally tough, which it seems like they are, 2-3 years down the line, we're going to have some really well-developed young receivers to kind of build this team around.
You know, I was impressed. At first, I was a little bit upset with Jerry Jeudy because he had a couple drops early. There was a cutoff block that he's supposed to get on a backside run where he just, there was zero effort. And I'm sure he heard about it on the sideline. And then, you know, I saw him get laid out on a slant that he caught, and he had a couple of chip blocks, and he actually redeemed himself in the second half. And that made me happy. Like, I was like, good for him, man. That's the way you respond. And then I was really impressed with KJ Hamler, some of the route running. He's so fast, getting on the toes of defensive backs, making them commit, open their hips, and then just out of breaks. Like, I mean, right now, that dude can cut on a blade of grass. So give me your assessment. You played wide receiver. I didn't. Give me your assessment of what you've seen, what you saw last week from those two receivers.
Yeah, so as a receiver, when I got here in 2003, it was in the middle of training camp, and the receivers here were, the veterans were Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey. And in that receiver room, blocking was number one, almost, because, you know, you're not going to be catching a lot of passes. You just, there's one ball, it moves around the field a lot, but we run the ball all the time. And as a receiver, you have to stick your head in there and block. You have to know your blocking assignments, and you have to have the effort to carry them out. And so Jerry Jeudy is learning that. You know, I'm sure he didn't have to do a ton of blocking at Alabama, maybe some, but not like he does here. So it's really an attitude thing. You know, they're coaching him up in that meeting room and letting him know exactly how to do it. But it's an every play type of situation when you're a receiver in the league, especially here. You got to be tough, and you got to spring those guys for big runs. And, you know, that's the difference between a 4-yard run and a 40-yard run, is that receiver block. And as far as KJ Hamler, man, I was actually really impressed with how explosive he did look. Like you said, I mean, he's been on the sideline all summer with a hamstring. I know when I was coming off of a hamstring, the first time I was back out there at it, I did not look like KJ Hamler. You know, this guy looked like he was fresh. He looked like he was healthy. And to me, what I liked about him, I heard a lot about his drops in college. Someone said, oh, he had the most drops in college football his senior year or whatever. I think that he looked good with the ball in the air. He attacked the ball with his hands. He was reaching his hands out to grab the ball, not letting it come into his body, trying to go up over bigger guys to catch that ball. He seems very competitive when the ball is in the air. And so he plays bigger than he is. And you're right, he's really, really fast and sharp out of his routes. And so is Jerry Jeudy. So those guys showed me a lot. I'm looking forward to watching them mature.
All right. Again, you can hear Nate's entire wrap with the drive coming up during their Football Friday fire up at 5 o'clock. Nate, thanks so much. We'll talk to you. By the way, what's your prediction for the game on Sunday?
You know what? I think it's a winnable game for the Broncos. I like the 0-2 teams this week for some reason. And I think the Broncos are going to get a win against the old man Brady and the Bucks.
Ooh, wow. Talk about turning the season around. All right, thank you, Nate. Nate Jackson, joining us on the Fireball Hotline. Coming up next, 4-down territory. If it was up to Mark, Pat Shurmur would do this when it comes to the Broncos offense. Find out what that is next.
I want Mason glory hole.
This is 4-down territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
What I liked the most was he was tough. He stood in there. He generally executed what we wanted to get done. You know, he had some mistakes, certainly. But, you know, I think even though there were a few bad plays there, I mean, he really made some really good throws.
All right, there's Pat Shurmur talking about Jeff Driscoll. Mark, if it was up to you, Pat Shurmur would do what this Sunday with the Broncos offense?
Install Wrinkles offense. That's what you guys wanted to hear, wasn't it? No.
That's obvious.
Yeah. No.
The guy that got fired?
Yeah, the guy that got unceremoniously fired.
Just by going 4-1 at the end with Drew Lock?
Yeah. You're going to have to condense formations. You're going to have to use multiple tight ends, multiple backs. You're going to have to, obviously, you run the ball, but it does a couple things for you. One, protects your edges. Two, right, it protects your offensive line, who obviously struggled. Two, you're going to have to decide if you're Tampa, are we going to play you in? Are we going to play you in situations where we bring a safety down to defend the run, which Tampa does a lot? They'll play a lot of single high looks, and so it ultimately dictates some coverage principles for Jeff Driskel, who, remember, is 1-7 as a starter. So it'd be nice to give him some pretty easy looks, some pretty easy pre-snap looks. And so, you know, that's the way I would go. Protect my offensive line, run the ball, you know, use multiple tight ends, make sure the looks are simple, and just try to execute. You didn't execute last week. You had a bunch of mental errors. You had by your quarterback, by your running back, you know, and by your offensive line. So you got to fix those issues.
Next on Four Down Territory.
Second down.
It is a tough front, but, you know, we offer the challenge. You know, our guys aren't talked about, and, you know, they know that, and, you know, nor do they care. You know, we're going to continue to work and get better. The guys are competitive up front. They do their jobs, sign and sound. I think they're one of the hardest position groups, you know, on the team.
There's Melvin Gordon. I'll tell you what I'd like to see more of if it was left up to me. Give me more Melvin Gordon. This is what you brought him in here for. This is what you paid him for. There's no Philip Lindsay shadow that he has to operate in. Lindsay's out.
He's tall.
And in two games, he's gone 15 carries for 78 yards against the Titans and 19 carries for 70 yards against the Steelers. Not bad numbers. I'd like to see more Melvin Gordon.
More. How do you like it? Hey, listen, I'm not going to disagree with you, but I'm just gonna add to that, okay? I'd like to see more Melvin Gordon in critical situations.
Yes.
On the goal line, in third and short, yep. In fourth and short. I want him to be more involved in those situations.
In six plays where they've had a 2 yards, whether it be a goal-to-goal situation for two or a third
red
two,
zone, short yardage,
two,
yeah.
Red zone, whatever. Six plays they've run, only two have featured Melvin Gordon. That's what you brought him here for. Use him. More, please. Next in Four Down Territory.
Third down.
First thing, just, you know, I'm trying to get a Super Bowl on my hand, Super Bowl ring. So that's the main goal. You know, I feel like as long as I do my job, everything, all the personal accolades will come. But if you're asking for personal accolades, I would love to be, you know, all rookie team, you know, possibly Pro Bowl, but Super Bowl is where we shoot for stars.
High aspirations for KJ Hamler. Let me ask you, Mark, after doing an exhaustive film study through the first two games of the Broncos, who would you want to target more in the Broncos passing game, Jerry Jeudy or KJ Hamler?
Oh, I think, yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, Jerry Jeudy's had, I think, two drops in both games. One a little bit behind him on a crossing route, but you still got to come up with that one. One on the slant off a cat corner blitz. You got to make that catch. I really liked KJ Hamler last week. I thought KJ Hamler was sharp. I thought he was incredibly, you know, fast out of his breaks, threatened people vertically right off the bat. I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to get out of your, you know, you want to get off the line of scrimmage, threaten people vertically, and at the top of your route, just break people off. That's what he did. And as Nate Jackson said, you know, competed for the ball in the air, attacked the ball in the air. All that stuff was really good. I was really impressed because he was the one guy that I thought, hey, track guys oftentimes to me, you know, I have a little bit of you know, when it comes to track, but I was really impressed.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Fourth down.
You know, for all the ladies out there, I'm taken. I'm sorry. And for my wife, get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
Ayo.
Oh, my. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitz magic.
Ayo.
Showing off after the win last night, showing off the hair, beard,
yeah,
and that glorious chest hair of his. I mean, it is magnum esque.
Yeah. I think now he is 6-0 against the Jags with six different teams. How about that? If that isn't the most Jag thing ever, right?
That's so Jag.
It is so Jag.
That is so Jag.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, 6-0 against the Jags with six different teams. Hey, come on in. Beat us down. We're the Jaguars. I mean, for crying out loud. That was a little pride.
Fitzpatrick was 18 of 20. He completed 90% of his passes.
And Devontae Parker, who was, like, when Adam Gase was there, Adam Gase was trying to kick him out of the league. Devontae Parker, who had a hamstring injury, had all kinds of catches. He was all over the place.
Get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
Yeah. I tell you what, not only a glorious beard, but he has got a, let's call it an Austin Powers look to his chest hair.
That's what I was saying. It's Austin Powers. It's Magnum-esque.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
That's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of chest hair,
hey-o,
Mike, that you could be like having a Tootsie Pop, you know, and going, time to go to work. This Tootsie Pop is good. I just don't want to throw it away. You just bury it in your chest hair, and it just sits there during the game, and then you pull it back out of your chest hair. You wet it down so it's not sticking anymore.
Please stop.
And you just finish your Tootsie Pop.
Oh.
Get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
Daddy's got a Tootsie Pop treat for you when I come home.
Hey-o.
Right? Am I wrong on that?
Am I wrong? I enjoy a good Tootsie Pop.
Yeah.
You know, how many licks does it take to get to the middle of a Tootsie Roll Pop? One, two.
Yeah.
But
wait a minute, let me put my chest hair. We'll find out later.
I've never thought of the chest hair with it when it comes to the
thing is like a Tootsie Pop cradle.
Okay, that'll do it for Four Down Territory. Our tour around the NFL, bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank joins us. Oh, I know Troy. He's one of those emotional fans, emotional media members. I'm sure he's going to blame last night's Nuggets loss on the refs. We'll find out next. George Carl going to join us coming up at 8:30. Question mark coming up at 8. Right now, let us welcome in our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Rank, presented by Tranny Law. Good morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good, Troy. I mean, all things considered, the injuries obviously mounting up. You can't use him as an excuse. So, for you, give me a couple of things that the Broncos may change up, especially in regards to protection that you think may happen this Sunday as they face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I think they will go heavy at times with their personnel package, two tight ends. I mean, you could run Jake Butt out there with Noah Fant. You could use Andrew Beck. I just think at times you're going to have to protect Wilkinson. I mean, Bowles has been decent. I mean, he hasn't really been the issue, but Wilkinson has really struggled. Or the other part is, if Wilkinson were to struggle early in this game, do you go to DeMar Dotson? And they haven't been inclined to do that, but I think at some point you've got to look closely at that. But that's one thing I think you do. You got to make sure the ball gets out quickly. Don't put Driscoll in harm's way, you know, with five-step drops, sitting back there looking and waiting for double routes to develop. But and you got to run the football. You know, Mark, the easiest way to negate a pass rush, keep pressure off the quarterback, is to run the football. And at times they've done that pretty well. They just really haven't done it consistently over the course of a game.
You know, talking to people, and you don't get the benefit of being in the room like you normally would to really be able to get a finger on the pulse, but you know, I just where do you think this team is at right now? When you look at the significance of this game, the difference between 1-2 and 0-3, how big is it?
Well, if you want to be a playoff team, it's really a must-win game. I mean, there's been, I think, six teams since 1980 reached the playoffs after starting 0-3. They had a playoff berth. I mean, there's some reasons to have hope that a little different than a normal year, but the reality is that 0-3. History's not kind to you. I mean, just do the math. I mean, at that point, you'd have to win 90 remaining games, 9 of 13. I mean, you look at their schedule right now, and can you find 9 wins? I mean, that's where just do the math. Take the 0-3 out of it. Just try to do the flip side of it. So, yeah, it's a must-win game. They're not approaching it that way in their locker room for an obvious reason. When the third week of the season, you don't want to feel like it's all on the line. They know the math. The players aren't stupid about this. But the one thing they've got going for them is that they feel like they could easily be 2-0, certainly 1-1. and they've shown resilience. They just took an absolute punch to the face with these injuries to start the season with their best players. All teams have injuries, but I'd say outside of maybe the 49ers, there's very few teams like the Bronx that have lost their, you know, best defensive, best offensive player and their quarterback. So they feel like they're close. They're frustrated. They can't finish. And that's kind of their focus. Let's finish. One guy, do a little bit more. Let's find a way to finish and put ourselves back in the mix here.
Let me ask you this. Are they close? Like, is that fool's gold? Or, yeah, I know the scores have been close, but in crunch time situations, they don't make the plays. So your estimation, are they really close? Because, you know, I see muffed punts. I see missed field goals. I see, you know, I see guys taking it out of the end zone on kickoff returns, but they should clearly kneel down and take it to the 25. I see protection issues. I see mental busts. I see, you know, critical situations where you don't make a throw, you take a sack. Like to me, they're not close. Do you think they're really close?
I mean, close to a win in each of those 2 weeks, I'd say yes, especially the opener. I would argue they should have won that game. Close to being a playoff team? No, because of the mistakes you just outlined. They've had too many breakdowns. They have no margin for error, and you cannot afford to give teams extra possessions. You can't afford to lose the field position game. I mean, go down the list, given where they are compromised on their roster. So, but are they close to having won a game? Yes, that I would agree with them, and they have reason to feel like they should have won at least one of these games so far. But in terms of close to turning the corner, being 9-7, being in the playoffs, they're not there yet. And they might not get there, let's be honest, because of their roster, the injuries they've suffered. I hate to say that, but that's, you know, kind of the reality of where they are. But if they were to win this game, you pull off the upset, and then you go to the Jets. The Jets might be the worst team in football. They're going to be fighting for the number one overall pick, maybe with the Giants, frankly. So you could go 2-2 and feel like, okay, we got a chance to get some traction here, even though you're going to New England. But at least at 2-2, you'd feel like there's some hope. There's not a train at the end of the tunnel. There's actually a little bit of a sliver of light.
Busy with Troy Rank. Troy, did the Nuggets lose last night because of the officiating?
No, I mean, listen, I'm not happy about the fact that the Lakers had to whine to the NBA to get calls for LeBron James. That just makes my eyes roll. But they lost last night because of their inability to, you know, win the boards, the defensive rebounding. LA had way too many possessions. Second chance points killed the Nuggets throughout that game. And it led to extra possession. And it just led, because the Nuggets shot well enough to win the game. They did a lot of things well, but they just did not win the defensive rebounding. That's where they had to win. And they just, throughout that game, they could never get stops consistently. And then when they did, you know, you'd have a long rebound go right to a Laker. You know, rebound to LeBron on a free throw. I mean, there was just enough of those mistakes in a close game that compromised them. And listen, I'm not happy about the officials, but that's not why they lost last night. The reason they lost last night is because they lost on the boards.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And Murray, just a little bit about Murray and what he's been able to do. And I mean, just absolutely amazing. And I would even say this, and we talked about it earlier. You know, it's amazing to me, 17 years in the league for LeBron James, he says in the fourth quarter, no, I'm checking him. You guys go do something else. I'm taking him. Just an amazing matchup and just the respect the Lakers have for Murray and what he's done.
Yeah, Murray has evolved into a star. We've talked about this. A year ago, he didn't want the big shot against Portland and they'd get knocked out of the playoffs. Now he's moved himself into the upper echelon of clutch players in the NBA. It's a bubble. It's a weird environment. We'll see how next year plays out. But he has cemented himself as a clutch player with this postseason. And, again, the what hurt them yesterday is Jokic got in foul trouble and couldn't stay aggressive because Murray played, again, well enough for them to win. He was out of his mind good at times with that layup, with the fall-away late. He had him on his back, but you can't beat the Lakers with one guy. You can beat the Clippers with one guy because Paul George routinely chokes in the playoffs. Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to throw out 60 every night. So your best two players have to kind of neutralize them. And Jokic just came up a little short last night. He wasn't aggressive, I think, because he got in foul trouble. But, again, the Nuggets have played well enough to, you know, it could easily be 2-2. It's not. I don't like it being 3-1, but I'm not going to give up on them. They're a resilient team, and they put themselves in positions to win. But, yeah, LeBron is amazing for where he is in his career, his age, to play as well as he does. I'd like to be able to foul the way he does. It's amazing how it's okay for him to foul defensively, but if they foul him, that has to be a call because he absolutely crushed Jamal on that layup. And that for me was the game right there. But whatever, that's not why they lost. They lost because of the rebounding.
Yeah, I think it was the picture that comes to mind for me was Rajon Rondo flying in for that offensive rebound. That was the one that really stung for me. All right, Troy, thank you. We'll talk to you Sunday morning.
You got it, guys. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, appearing on the Fireball Hotline. And Troy is brought to us by the folks at Tranny Law. We got question mark coming up here in just a little bit. Now, we threw out a request, a challenge to everybody a little bit earlier in the show, and we haven't settled on it yet. But what we're looking for is whenever Mark does a Bronco game for television, for Fox, he always includes like a phrase that's like kind of just a subtle wink, wink nod to all of you great listeners.
Right. Yeah. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Friday phrase that pays. Whew, that was hard.
That was hard.
Well, there's a lot of alliteration in there, right?
There's a lot of alliteration. So right now, the leader in the clubhouse is not a particular phrase. What it is, and this, I can't wait to see, I really think this is what it has to be. You have to find a way to extend the Paxton Lynch smear campaign during the broadcast, which shouldn't be hard.
Wow.
When you think about it, with the, I mean, ESPN, they always do the carousel, right? They love doing the carousel of all the Bronco quarterbacks, right? Now the latest one, Driscoll. So there's no reason why
you can't extend,
the smear campaign. All right. Now, normally we don't extend the smear campaign on weekends.
No.
It's normally a Monday through Friday thing, although I did do it last Sunday during our pregame show, D-Mac and I did. But I'm going to challenge you.
Okay.
The streak is on the line. Where are we at right now? By the way, consider this extending the smear campaign today.
Yeah.
Can I get the music? We did it. So this is now, what, Benny? Day number 2066. So,
hey, Benny, can you send me this music? So when I say it on the broadcast.
Thank you. Can they do that?
Could you imagine?
Oh, God, if you.
No, that would be a little bit. That would be a little bit too.
That'd be too inside.
Yeah, that would be. They'd be like, what the heck is going? I just play it into my mic from my cell phone. All right.
What is Stink doing? People in the truck are like, what the? All right, but that's your challenge. You don't have to mention smear campaign. That'd be an added bonus.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you can go smear campaign.
You don't need to say smear campaign, but you need to do it in a way in which we all understand you're smearing Paxton. Okay? Can you do it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, can I? Hey, challenge accepted.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Get me some
Ryan Fitz magic.
Yes.
Huh?
Heyo.
Get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Easy. Easy.
All right. Okay. We got a question mark coming up here in just a little bit. Mac Sixpack just texted, what the heck is in Stink's coffee? You all have way too much fun too early in the morning.
Hey, by the way.
What the hell is going on right now?
Which is good. But by the way, I was thinking about this because somebody on the text line sent us a lollipop, a Tootsie Roll lollipop with hair all over it, right? And, you know, because we were talking about the Ryan Fitzmagic's hair, his chest hair.
And
glorious.
It was glorious. And I'm thinking, if you never waxed your back, like, would you have a chance to go maybe toe-to-toe with Fitzmagic?
My back hair against his chest hair? Chest hair,
yeah. Like, if your chest hair or your back hair it was never manicured. Like, if you never hired Nick to come over and manscape your back, like, that thing has been never touched, not touched by human hands.
See, the problem is that, you know, this is probably TMI, but, you know, a thick back hair just doesn't lay as well as, you know, good chest hair. You know, you think of the great chest hair people out there. You know, the Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Magnum P.I. I mean, it's just the Austin Powers. It just lays in a way that's just like, wow.
Yeah,
it's tough to get back
here
to do
that. You know what's interesting? I know I'm off on a bit of a tangent.
You know?
I mean, know that, but here's what's interesting.
George the Animal Steel versus Magnum P.I. I mean, it's just...
What's interesting about that is there was a time, like in the 70s, when having a full, like, just giant... bushy chest hair full of chest, and you opened up that, you know, that silk shirt with the big collar, and that was like sexy, right?
Yeah.
That was like, woof.
Especially if you had the gold chain.
Oh yeah, that got hung up in the chest hair.
Yep.
I mean, that was like, you were going, that was like straight out of Saturday Night Live, you know?
Yeah.
You're. I mean, hey, baby, we're going dancing.
What's going
tonight.
On?
You're in your white pants with your coat, and you know, I mean, you're getting it. The BGs are pumping.
Yep. Yep.
And you're going to town.
Yep.
And your chest is sweating, and that hair is glistening. And you know, now it's just like, ooh. It's all, everybody shaves their stuff now, or waxes their stuff, or hair is not what it used to be.
Yeah, it's not. You're right.
It used to be a lot more popular.
Used to be more intrigue, more mystery, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's full Ferguson.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.